I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
AM 950, 95.7 FM and streaming online at ESPNRochester.com and the ESPN Rochester app. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Spent some time this week, now that the lacrosse season is over, discussing the future of the Rochester Nighthawks. Lots of rumblings after this weekend.
Yeah, we talk all Buffalo sports here on the Sports Bar, obviously, but not hardly ever any Buffalo Bandits, because we have a team here. But if it's going to be the same owner that owns the Bandits and the Rochester Nighthawks, I think it's a good time
potentially.
Potentially. Right. Jack Goods, Buffalo News, coming into the Sports Bar. Jack, appreciate your time, and I guess let's start here. Let's compare our notes, shall we? We are hearing that the Nighthawks, Kurt Stires, the team owner, is going to sell to Pegula Sports and Entertainment. People have told us this is in the works. Are you hearing the same thing?
I can't confirm the reports, but it fits in with what I've heard throughout the season. So it's one of those situations where I figure it will happen. I'm just not sure exactly when it will happen. I mean, I don't think it's happened already. It seems like all signs point toward it happening, though.
And we've seen plenty of reports already that Kurt Stires is going to be awarded an expansion team in Halifax, correct?
Yeah, that's also been a piece of this, and that really fits into what I've heard. Halifax has been a big city of interest for the league, really, for the past year. You've seen rumblings of that. And I heard that they pretty much had everything set up except an owner. It got as far as last month, I want to say 2 months ago now, there was a trademark for a team name by the NLL, the Halifax Privateers. So it seems pretty set up, and they were just looking for that owner. And, I mean, Stires makes a lot of sense for that because they've seen them have success in this league already.
Our guest is Jack Goods of Buffalo News here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. You cover the Bandits. What's their take on this officially? What the Nighthawks have said to us is it's business as usual. What are the Bandits saying out in Buffalo?
Pretty much the same thing. I mean, it's been exactly the response I expected for something that, even if it is happening, they don't really want to talk about it yet. I got an official response from Scott Loeffler, who's the director of lacrosse operations for the Bandits, basically saying, besides congratulating the Nighthawks on a great season and commending Kurt Stires as one of the best owners in the league, there's nothing for us to say about the Nighthawks at this point. So that certainly isn't a denial. it made me think even more that this is going to happen, because if it wasn't, it feels like they would probably deny these reports more.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Jack Goods, covering the Buffalo Bandits for the Buffalo News, joining us in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Okay, so let's play some hypotheticals here. I think if the Pegulas were to take over control of the Rochester Nighthawks and they would have both the Bandits and the Nighthawks, I think most people would be excited about that. But the diehard Nighthawk fans are not as entirely enthusiastic about the Pegulas taking over because, well, one, you're overseeing two franchises within the same league, and how do you give one preferential treatment over the other? And I guess the other concern would be, hey, how have the Bandits been faring? They've been owning that team, and what has Buffalo been able to accomplish in the NLL with the Pegulas as their owners? Dispel some of that for me, Jack.
I guess I'll kind of start off with just talking about what it would mean for them owning two teams, because it obviously, on the surface, I mean, it really does look like a conflict of interest. As someone who's followed this league for a while, who really wants this league to gain legitimacy more than anything, I don't love the optics of it, but you kind of have to, there are two reasons why I think this might be an okay move long-term. One is just the knowledge the commissioner brings in. Nick Sakevich, 2 years ago, took over the commissioner's spot, came from Major League Soccer. And for years, the MLS was dealing with owners owning multiple teams. I believe the first year, One owner owned three, two other owners each owned two, and they didn't find an issue there, and you see where the MLS has gotten to at this point. The NLL would die to be at that point. And then you have to, I think, factor in how hands-on the Pegulas themselves really are. They're a little bit busy when it comes to, you know, the two teams that they obviously care about the most in the Bills and the Sabres, and they're pretty preoccupied there. I mean, it won't be a surprise to any Bandits fans for me to tell you that Terry Pegula is not that invested in the Bandits. People who I trust have told me he's been to maybe a half of Bandits lacrosse. It's run by other people. So even if the Pegulas own both teams, you figure the people actually running the show will be entirely different in separate groups. The only way I could see maybe some favorability will just be how much money they'd be willing to invest in either team. But when it comes to like, oh, are all the good players in the Nighthawks going to get traded to the Bandits because the Pegulas want the Bandits to do better? I mean, I don't think that that's realistic at all.
Yeah, I mean, what would the league do? Because I would have to think any trade will have the illusion of this is being slanted one way or another, and you don't want that if you're a league. I mean, it would be next to near impossible for Rochester and Buffalo to create trades, would it not?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some considerations of that. It's something I brought up talking about it with people within the organization and within the league when discussing the possibility of something like this happening. Because there is always that doubt. Any trade that gets made has to be approved by the league. So you're not going to see something crazy one-sided. But it isn't great to even just have that grain of salt in fans' mind, especially with these two teams and having such an established rivalry there. It's not ideal. But if the other option is the Nighthawks move to Halifax, which was also mentioned in Marissa and Jemmy's report on Inside the Cross, but it's kind of what all this is stemming from when it comes to real legitimate reports. I think that people in Rochester would gladly still have the team exist and owned by the Pegulas than move them to Canada.
No, oh, absolutely. And by the way, you know, we talk about the fuel behind all of this. The fuel of this engine is money. And if the Pegulas have two of the main tenants at Blue Cross Arena here in Rochester, they've got the chance to squeeze the city a little bit and maybe, just maybe, get a little bit more in the black with both of these entities that they, well, at least one of the entities that they own and potentially a second entity that they would own there as a tenant of Blue Cross Arena.
Yeah, you'd have to wonder. I mean, it obviously puts them in a really good negotiating position. And the Pegulas really, teams haven't been shy about the interest in Rochester building a new stadium. Having been to Blue Cross Arena, I mean, I'm guessing you guys would probably agree that a new stadium would not be a bad idea. it certainly could use an upgrade.
Yes.
Even just a renovation. I mean, I was a little disappointed with the size of the recent renovation announcements and how long they were going to take. But it comes down to whether the city is really, it thinks that's worth it. I think when it comes to, you mentioned the money, I mean, I look at this from the league perspective as really being a decent move if this all turns out the way that it does. If you take away the issue, if you get over the issue of one owner owning two teams, I look at Halifax, and the big success for this league right now the past few years has been what they've been able to do in Saskatoon. The Saskatchewan Rush are like filling up most games, and I think that other owners are looking at that and thinking, well, maybe there's an opportunity here to hit on a smaller market. And with Halifax, there's even less competition for sports because they don't have a CFL team like mm-hmm. Saskatoon does. So I look at it as, okay, well, Kurt Stivers has shown he can run a successful organization. He's at a place with less competition than you have in Rochester, even though there aren't pro teams. There are obviously other minor league teams and a lot of interest in Buffalo teams, where then Pegula comes in and could, I assume he's, you know, has more money, could pump more money in the Nighthawks. I could see that being a beneficial move for both teams long term, but I could see why fans would be upset with the idea of the Nighthawks and all the success they've been having going to the Pegulas.
Jack Goods covers the Buffalo Bandits for the Buffalo News, our guest here in the Sports Bar. So what started all this? Was it Stivers wanting out of Rochester and the Pegulas are stepping in for those reasons, and they're stepping in as the hero? Because to me, and I don't know if we'll ever get that answer out of Kurt Stires, but I would think that would be something worth talking about here, Jack, is that Kurt Stires had enough of Rochester. Are you hearing anything about that?
I haven't heard anything about that besides, Marissa reported that there was some thoughts of him, of Stires just moving the team, which would make me think that it would be more along the lines of what you said of, well, they were going to move and the Pegulas are kind of saving them from moving, would be my guess, but that'd be pure speculation that based on someone else's report. But I have not heard anything to really, heard anything to make me think either way about how exactly he's thinking.
Hey, Jack, I wouldn't blame him if he wanted to get out of Rochester. You're dealing with the city who owns the venue, and you're only operating on a year-to-year lease. I mean, there's no sort of long-term vision when you're dealing with the city of Rochester, and it's not exclusive to the Nighthawks. They treat the Amerks the same way. They, you know, the minor league soccer team is on hiatus this year. And you know, oh, by the way, the baseball team, which works with the county for their stadium, they're on a 15-year lease. I mean, it's just pure lunacy when you look at how the city deals with its sports franchise. I wouldn't blame Stires a bit if he kind of did the fingers under the chin move and said, "Hey, I'm going to go to Halifax and I'll talk to you guys later."
Yeah, what, in the last 2 years, the city's lost the Rattlers, the Rhinos, and the Flash.
Yes,
like it's been an exodus. So I'm glad. If the real big, long impact of this is that the Nighthawks aren't moving, I'm really happy for that because, I think that they're, as a franchise, they have a history that not many teams do, having been around since, the late 90s. And obviously, at this point, one of the most successful franchises ever when it comes to championships. But like you said, I wouldn't be shocked or appalled by the idea of them moving simply because you look at the gate numbers that they haven't been drawing incredibly, but the fans that they do have are really diehard, and it's a really strong group. I'm really glad for those people if the Nighthawks can be, you figure, in a pretty stable situation going forward. If the Pegulas are willing to make this move now, I doubt that they'd be on the fence about the long term situation of the Nighthawks if they're considering buying them.
Jack Goods, the Buffalo News, covering the Buffalo Bandits for the Buffalo News, joining us here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Let's talk about the sport for a second, Jack, because you mentioned the longevity of the Nighthawks and the success that they've had over the course of over 20 years. And I remember moving to Rochester over 20 years ago and going to my first Nighthawks game and really not having any kind of experience at all in lacrosse, having come from northern Minnesota where you played hockey or you died. And so to see lacrosse in action with my very own eyes, you can get hooked on it very quickly. It's a fun sport to watch. The indoor game is fast-paced. It's rough. It's physical. Talk to me about the league itself, where the league has been, where the league is going. And like anything, and you mentioned MLS earlier, I really believe that for this league, and you're somebody who's invested in this league, for this league to kind of take that leap forward, at some point, are we going to see some sort of TV deal where we can see, or is there a TV deal already in place that we don't know about, or is it a limited TV deal? I mean, what will get this league from where it is now to where it could potentially be, where we're talking about those expansion teams and these guys actually, not just generating money through the gates, but generating some TV revenue as well?
Yeah, this league has been through a lot of ups and downs. I grew up on it growing up in Buffalo. I had season tickets growing up, and I started going when I was really young. Played it on the floor when I was little lacrosse player at halftime. So I kind of grew up watching it, and I always felt once you've got people in there to see it, it's an incredible sport to watch. One of the issues, I think, for it growth-wise is just it's so much better to watch in person than it is to watch on TV. It can be a little bit difficult to follow the play and really appreciate it on television. We've gone through a lot of franchises over the years. And the league was founded in 1987, so it has stuck around for a while, but there has been a lot of upheaval, even with some of the league's most established franchises. I mean, the Bandits are the longest-running team in in any city right now, being founded in the early 90s. So they've lasted. But even the Philadelphia Wings were probably the cornerstone of the league for most people for years. And 4 years ago, they moved to New England, and now they're coming back as an expansion team next year. But once I saw that the Wings could move, I thought, well, really, any team could move if the gate numbers aren't looking as good as they used to. There were years that I was just happy that the league was back existing every year. It always felt like a year-to-year thing for me growing up that I never knew when it was all going to fall apart. I don't feel that way anymore. It feels like the league is moving in the right direction and gained a lot of legitimacy. I think that the commissioner that I mentioned, Nick Sakevich, coming in, has really boosted their profile. In the past, the commissioner hasn't exactly been someone with name recognition as an executive on a national level. And some people love him and hate him from his soccer days, but a lot of people know him, and he can get them in the room with potential owners and potential investors that I don't know would have been interested in the NLL before. They got two new teams coming in next year, and both are with pretty established ownership groups. Obviously, I mentioned Philly, and they're owned by Comcast, so great tie-in with the Flyers. And then the San Diego Seals are the other team, and they're going to be owned by Joe Tsai, who's the co-founder of Alibaba, which is a Chinese company. He's a billionaire who played lacrosse at Yale. It's like the perfect situation for this league. It's someone with a ton of money and a love for lacrosse. And he actually just became, he owns now 49% of the Brooklyn Nets, which makes some people think that if there's this opportunity to own more than one team now, he might start an expansion team there. I think the league does want to get back to New York.
Yeah, in Long Island.
It feels, in Long Island, the past had worked. They kind of ran into a bad owner there. That was long before I was following the league. But to me, it feels like the league is moving in the right direction. When it comes to TV, Sakevich has a real focus on digital. He thinks it's the future, which I think there's some legitimacy there to that claim. They launched NLL TV last year, which they like to hype up as the first time you could watch the NLL on a digital platform and see all the games. I mean, it was the first time you had to pay for it, but it was not the first time. They've been on YouTube, B2 back in the day. They've always used systems. They just finally launched their own, and they, I think, have an interesting tie-in starting next year with Bleacher Report Live, which is just launching, which has gotten some decent partners. The NLL was one of their launch partners, so I was told that it means $1 million, like $500,000 in renovation of money being put to these facilities and the technology to improve the broadcast. I was told that we will finally not have previously the online feeds have just been the Jumbotron feeds. It seems like there's going to be a little bit more technical prowess in their broadcast now than in the past. So I think all of that kind of points to me that it's moving in the right direction, but I've been overly optimistic before. So I'm kind of cautiously optimistic of where the league's going right now.
Jack Goods from the Buffalo News, our guest. Jack, as we wrap up, if this is it for Kurt Stires, what are we losing here in Rochester as an owner? Because everybody wants the owner that, hey, this team is a toy, and I just want to win. And to win three championships, I don't know if we'll ever see that again in any sport here, consecutive championships in the Flower City. So to me, you mentioned that owner out in San Diego that is a billionaire. Well, I don't know the net worth of Kurt Stires, but to me, that's exactly the owner you would want in a city like Rochester, where I'm okay taking losses, because I can't imagine that the Nighthawks were ever profitable in their time here in Rochester.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be on the same boat with you there. To me, going to the games that I went to two this season. I've gone to games in the past, and I was never blown away by the numbers. I can understand why. To me, it makes sense why the Ghoulas are interested in the Bandits, even though they don't, they're not invested in the team. It definitely makes them money. So they're getting 14,000 people there. You know, that wasn't happening in Rochester, but you've seen an incredible commitment from Kurt Stires. I mean, it is a big loss if he's no longer with the franchise, because he was so willing to lose money and put a winning product, a winning team on the floor. And he also was intelligent when it came to just lacrosse decisions, which I don't think you're going to find too often in this league, that the owner really knows what they're talking about when it comes to the actual players. And you also have to factor in an incredible connection with the Native American community, because he's Native American, and a lot of, almost, I'd say at this point, a majority of the Native players have been playing for the Nighthawks the past few years. It's weird, like growing up, at least you have a couple players in the Bandits, and it's seemed to have gone down in years, and I think that's been something that's helped them succeed as well. And it's been, a good, you go to those games, and there were stuff beforehand and afterwards to honor the Native history of the game. I think that's something you kind of lose with this, too. That was really a nice trademark of the Nighthawks franchise that set them apart from other teams. They might continue it, but I don't know, it might feel a little more phony without an actual Native American owner.
Jack Goods, covering the Buffalo Bandits for the Buffalo News. Worth a follow on Twitter, @GoodsOnSports, has been our guest here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Should be an interesting few months, Jack. We look forward to talking to you again soon. Should news break regarding the Pegulas and the Rochester Nighthawks, really appreciate your time this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
Do it again soon. Jack Goods, Buffalo News, joining us here.
Yeah, shedding some light on that, and you can react on Twitter @ESPN Rochester. Call us at 454-ESPN. I think that kind of adds up, though. It was Stires, right? If we're trying to connect dots, he had enough, and there was this opportunity in Halifax where it was pretty much turnkey up there, and they were just looking for an owner. They've already wanted that arena filled with a team, and he was ready to take the team. So I'm just curious, was it the league that stepped in? Was it Pegula that stepped in and said, no, we're keeping the team here? That's the part that I think we still have to learn.
Well, and Stires, being invested in the game and invested in the league as long as he has been, probably sees the opportunity based on what you're seeing in Saskatchewan. Hey, if we can get 14,000 people in an arena in Halifax, or 12,000 people in an arena in Halifax, we're going to be just fine. We're not exactly doing that in Rochester. No, the way. Oh, by the way, we get treated as a tenant, second-class citizen in the arena that we're in now.
Right. So this is the problem for the city. They don't have anybody that can work in customer service in that city hall, in my opinion, where people just get tired. I mean, we do not treat our sports teams the way they should. And luckily, at the end of the day, this all works out, as the Nighthawks will be staying in town. And for the city, you're going to get backlash on this, because at some point, now Pegula Sports and Entertainment, if it all works out, now they have the leverage to get things done in that arena the way they see fit.
All right, if you missed any of our conversation with Jack Goods from the Buffalo News, talking some Nighthawks lacrosse and the future of the team with potential of PSE taking over the Rochester Nighthawks, we'll get that on for you on demand at the all-new ESPNRochester.com shortly, and also follow us @ESPNRochester on Twitter for updates on the latest on-demand audio from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. I'll Drink to That is on the way next. Provocative thoughts from around the world of sports. Agree or disagree? 454-ESPN is our phone number. 454-3776. And we're wishing you a happy Father's Day.
Yeah,
in the Sports Bar. Father's Day weekend this weekend, Gino. Maybe a cold one. Maybe a
nice cigar.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah.
Mix in a nap.
Tell Sandy. I know if Sandy's thinking about cigar, anybody, you know the place. You hear me talking about it. Love Mad Hatter's Hideaway. 300 varieties of cigars for you to choose from at Mad Hatter's Hideaway. Nick and the guys over there, they follow Buffalo sports, so you can talk some sports with those guys, enjoy a nice cigar, and it's a fun place to shop, and it's convenient from wherever you are in town. East side, west side, it's on Culver Road. Just shoot up, get to the 104, and then it's just south in Irondequoit. Culver Road, Irondequoit, Mad Hatter's Hideaway. Your home for cigars, your home for Father's Day. When you stop in, tell them you heard about it here on the Sports Bar.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Looking for the most picturesque golf course in Rochester or one of the best places to host your party or wedding? Then try Wildwood Country Club. Wildwood's weekday golf and lunch special is only $35, 7 a.m. till noon. Monday and Thursday before 10 a.m., play 18 holes with cart for only $25. Weekends after 3, play all you want with a cart for only $25. The Stonebridge Bar and Restaurant is open to the public Tuesday through Friday from 4 to 10 p.m. Wildwood's banquet facility has seating for 200 and a private party room for up to 40 people. Reserve tee times at golfwildwood.com.
Injured in a car accident?
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.